Turn to Judges chapter number 16. Judges chapter number 16. We'll read responsibly of Judges 16 verses 18 through 21. Judges chapter number 16 verses 18 through 21. Judges 16, 18 to 21. Beginning on verse 18, the Bible says, "And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart.' Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, 'The Philistines be upon thee, Samson.' And he awoke out of his sleep, then said, 'I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself.' And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you for the time that we were able to come to your house, Lord, and hear the message of God preached, Lord. Father, I pray you'll be the preacher, Lord, as he brings the message to us, Father. I pray you fill him with your power, fill him with your spirit, Lord. Speak to our hearts in the message tonight, Father. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Give me your attention for just a little while. Let me recap a little of the story, and then I'll preach just quickly tonight, but I'll preach tonight. Samson was born into a godly, spiritual family. Matter of fact, it was such a good family that the Bible says that an angel of the Lord came and told Samson's parents that they were going to have Samson. I think an angel came and told my wife and I too, but it was a fallen angel. No, but anyway, that was with the boys, not my daughter. The angel told them that God wanted their son to be raised as a Nazarite. That's not a Nazarene, it's a Nazarite. And the Nazarites, it was a vow. There are very few people that were Nazarites from birth, though. It was generally taken just for a short period of time, but God wanted Samson to be a lifelong Nazarite. Now, that meant basically three things. One, they could not touch the carcass of any dead human or animal. Number two, their hair was not to be shaven during the vow. It didn't mean that his hair grew forever without being cut. It was to be cut at certain times, but he was never to have a razor upon his head. He wasn't supposed to shave his head bald. Right, Brother Randy? It's not that he shaved it. It just won't go. And then thirdly, he was to abstain from all fruit of the vine products, for instance, grapes, not to have any product by grapes, raisins, that kind of thing, juice, etc. Samson was being raised so that the people could take one look at him and see that he was different. The Nazarites were different because of their appearance and how they lived. They were separated in some ways from the average person. I'm sure this meant Samson got made fun of. Can I tell you something? If you live for God, somebody's going to make fun of you. Oh, bless your poor little heart. I find it kind of funny. We were in Niagara Falls, and these people are walking around, and they got 14 different colors of hair, and they look like they got in a fight with a pop rivet gun and lost, and they got stuff everywhere. And I looked at one of these one day. It was out. Look at me! I thought, don't look at me like I'm weird. You're the weird one, not me. But Samson probably lived growing up, people making fun of him. Now, let me say this. Samson also lived too close to wrong and enjoyed being close to it without touching it. Samson began a lifestyle to where he lived close to wrong, but he wouldn't touch it. Now listen to this. He enjoyed the rush. He enjoyed the thrill. He enjoyed the, I use the word tickle, of temptation without going into wrong. I grew up in church. I wasn't a church mouse. I was the church rat. I've been in church my whole life. I'm 52 years old, been in church for 53 years. You say, that's not possible. I went before I was hatched. Trust me, I've been in church my whole life. I started preaching when I was 13 years old. I've been at this a long time. I've lived the life most of you would like your children to live. I've lived the life you want your grandkids to live, mostly. I wasn't perfect. Now, Samson didn't realize that temptation begins to dull the senses of right and wrong. The more you live in temptation, the more your sense for right and wrong is dulled. Yes. Trust me. The more you allow things to come into your home that's closer to wrong, the closer to wrong your children will be. And the closer to wrong you will be. Samson, like many young adults, thought he was invincible. Probably in his early 20s, maybe late teen years, that age where nothing can go wrong and I'm going to make it through for a long time and you're invincible. By the time you get my age, you pay the price for being invincible. He dated and ran with the wrong people. Matter of fact, he actually married a harlot, a prostitute. Three times Delilah tried to find the source of Samson's power, and all three times he enjoyed it so much he toyed with her the first time. He toyed with her the second time. Don't you think he would have learned after the first time? No, not Samson. He thought he could handle it. But the third time, she got him. The Bible says in Judges chapter 16, verse number 20, when he awoke out of his sleep, he said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. But watch this. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He had lived so close to wrong, and he had lived, by the way, you won't find anybody in Scripture anywhere where it is said more of him that the Spirit of the Lord God was upon him than Samson. Nowhere. And yet he lived so close, and he let his senses be dulled by temptation to the point where he said, well, I'll just shake it off and I'll make it. And he didn't even realize the power of God was gone. And then he was in trouble. You see, she used her body, she used her womanly ways to get from Samson what she wanted, and it wasn't him, it was to take him down. Samson had lived so close to the wrong that he had not noticed the Holy Spirit was departed from him. Another attack had come and he shook himself, but it was over. Samson was captured. Bible says that his eyes were poked out. They took a hot piece of iron and stuck them in his eyeballs and sizzled them. He was taken to the prison and he was put down to grind at the mill with the prisoners and the oxen. Great big old grinding mills, and they would hook the oxen up to them, and they would walk around in circles grinding the meal, grinding corn and wheat and different things. And Samson became an animal to the Philistines. Now listen to me. He was treated like an old ox. Where once he was feared, he is now mocked. The Philistines were scared of him. That's why they wanted to take him down. Now he's being mocked by them, grinding at the mill. How'd this happen? Samson did not choose to separate from wrong. Samson thought separation was silly, and it was just something he had to do. Hey, Samson, as you grind at the mill, as you are blinded because they put hot pokers in your eyeballs and burned your eyeballs out, let me ask you a question. How important was separation? Was it silly, Samson? Was it just something that your mom and dad told you to do? Was separation really that stupid? Were they really trying to keep you from fun? Well, what kind of fun are you having right now? Your parents' hearts are broken, Samson. How does it feel now? You've hurt your reputation for you and for God. How does it feel? Samson, you played too close to sin and it finally bit you. Now, listen to me. Samson wasn't a bad person. He was a good person that did and lived too close to wrong, and eventually bad got him. Now listen to this very carefully. Samson just allowed himself to live too close to the border of sin, and he wanted to live as close to it as he could without entering it, but did not realize one day he would enter. Samson lived where many in this room are living or may be living soon. Say, what is that? You're too close to the border of right and wrong. Now listen to me carefully here. Yes, I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible only, soul-winning, dogmatic Baptist preacher. Some of you young people might think, well, you're just too old-fashioned, preacher. This is 2019. Good, come back next week. We'll find out if you know what day it is. I know, I don't care what the date on the calendar is. God's word does not change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That book doesn't change based on what year it is on the calendar. I hate to disappoint you. You say, well, you just don't understand what it's like to live in this generation. I'm living it. How about you? When I went to public school all the way through eighth grade, I took my Bible to school at the Edison Junior High School every day. I had people open up my Bible and spit in it. I had an English teacher who tried to fail me because every paper that I wrote for English class was either about church or getting saved or my bus route. She was failing my papers based on the content, not on the English grammar. I had to go to Mr. Hartwick, our principal, and say, would you back this woman off? He would read the papers, and he finally went to her, and he said, well, you gave him the topics. You didn't tell him there's any parameters. So she gave me a topic one time, a bus ride. Catholic woman didn't know anything about church buses, but I was a bus captain. So I wrote about my bus ride on Sunday with my bus kids at the bus songs and preaching on the bus and people getting saved. And we had to read that one in front of the whole class, and I had three people get saved at school that day. She took me out into the hall, and she said, motivation for an eighth grader. She said, young man, you will never amount to anything. You'll never go to college, you'll never graduate, and you'll never do anything. I said, ma'am, I may not be what you think I'm going to be, but with God, I can do anything. I happen to have 2 degrees hanging on my office wall right now, and have taught at Bible colleges, and have helped become on the administration of 2 different colleges. Can I tell you something? It's not me, it's God.
Yes, sir. That's good.
Edison Junior High School is one of the biggest drug... They brought the dogs in to sniff lockers once a month. They would roll joints in class and pass them over my desk, and as they would, I'd flick them, and it hit the teacher in the back of the head. Okay, who did it? I said, they did. It was amazing when the police would come with the dogs to sniff lockers, how many guys were, Bush, what am I going to do? I said, you're going to go to jail. Yeah, I've been there. I've had people try to kick the books out of my hands because they thought a Christian's a sissy. You don't have to be a sissy to be a Christian. You don't have to be a bully either, but you don't have to be a sissy. But you better get some guts about yourself and learn to live for God. Now let me hurry up to the sermon. That was free. Too many people get entangled in sin. They get in bad situations because they live too close to the border of sin. Separation is not a badge you wear. Separation is a shield to protect you. We are not to separate and not be like the world so we can go around and say, look at me. Look how spiritual I am. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Folks, separation is not a badge you wear. It's a shield by which you protect yourself from the fiery darts of the devil. Separation is this. Man, I can't believe I won't do this. Brother Dorsey, stand there. You're gonna be God. Enjoy. It's the only time of your life, all right? Yeah. Folks, if this is sin and this is wrong, and that is what I'm supposed to be like as a Christian, I am supposed to be facing this direction, traveling that direction, correct? Can I tell you something? There are things that will keep you from getting close to God. The wrong music will keep you from getting close to God. So we separate from bad music. The wrong attitudes, so we separate. The wrong crowd, we separate. The wrong dress styles, we separate so that we can get closer to God. It's not to turn around and say, nah, 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 nah. Here's what happens. We want to live here. We want to bring as much of the world into the church, and we get the contemporary Christian music out there today. Okay. We get the contemporary church. We get the modernism of today into the church, and you can't tell the difference between the world and the church. It's not supposed to work that way. Separation is God helping you remove the things that keep you from being closer to Him. Let me ask you a question. How's your walk with God right now? The closer to this you are, the worse your walk with God is. I'll also tell you something else. The closer to Him you get, the worse you'll see yourself as you are. When you get a glimpse of God, you don't say, look at me. You say, woe is me. You see, when you start comparing yourself to Him and not to each other, that's when you find out what kind of Christian you are. Yes. Have a seat, Brother Dorsey. Excuse me, God. So separation is not a badge we wear. It's to show it is a shield by which we protect from wrong. We need to quit living so close to the border. Samson lived at that border so long that it dulled his senses to where somebody reached over and jerked him over the fence. Now, let me help you very quickly. Number one, we need to let God and the Bible define the lines, not just how we see it. Right. Folks, oops.
I can't believe it did that. All right, let's try that again.
New glasses, I lost it, amen? There we go. That book is the authority, not me. That book right there defines the lines, not you. I hear this all the time. Well, preacher, God just hasn't convicted me about it. He doesn't have to convict you. He commanded you. You don't have to feel convicted about a command. I didn't always feel convicted when Dad said, take out the trash. But didn't need to feel conviction. I may feel something else if I didn't do it. It was the moving of something, but it wasn't the Spirit. In other words, this old King James Bible is the authority, not you.
That's right.
Your opinion about that book isn't the authority. His words are the authority. Hey, preacher, you put a lot of emphasis on that. I do, because I'm not the authority, God is. We can't follow, by the way, we need to let God's word be the authority, not the church. I'll tell you what's wrong with a lot of religion. The religion wants to be the authority, not the word of God. They want El Papa to be the authority instead of God. Well, I can speak ex cathedra in the place of God. My Bible calls you an antichrist. He's not the vicar of heaven, he's the vicar of hell. Anybody with a $500,000 grapefruit on his head that thinks he's God is a problem. We cannot follow what lost society or culture says as what normal is. Folks, what is normal? Well, normal is according to what the Word of God says, not what society says. Do you know what the root word of culture is? Cult. Why is it that we want the world to define what normal is? Like I said, those are the people that, you know, the tattoo people that look like they got in a fight with a pop rivet gun, and then they hit a rainbow on the way. I mean, they fell into a bucket of Sherwin-Williams, rolled around in the shop for a while. They don't know what bathroom to use, and they want to call us unusual. Everybody doing okay? You see, how can the lost world set the standard for God's people? I've used this illustration before. Come here. If he is the world, you stay there. And I am representing the church. Face them, not me. Not real smart, is he? 50 years ago, 75 years ago, the world and the church were this far apart. But as the world got worldlier, the church kept the same distance. And now, 60 years later, stop. The church is now more worldly than the world was 60 years ago. Here's the way it was supposed to have been. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, we're going to keep going, keep going, keep going when you hit the water. Stop. This is the way it's supposed to be.
Yes, sir.
Well, there's such a big gap. Yeah, because the world keeps getting worse. God's word didn't change, the world has. Have a seat. Those of you old timers, older than me, I didn't say any names. Brother Larry was poking Brother Mike, but I wasn't doing anything. Now, wait a minute. Those of you that were alive during the 60s and old enough to understand, the parents were throwing a fit about the Beatles and their nasty worldly haircuts. Do you know the Beatles haircuts are better than just about any Southern gospel group out on the market today? Everybody doing okay? Everybody was upset at the style. Good night. Now, they couldn't qualify for anything even worldly. At least the Beatles knew they were men. Or at least bugs. Can I tell you something? Why do we want to copy those who are headed to hell as we're headed to heaven? Let me read a couple verses to you out of the book of Nehemiah chapter 10. You need not turn there. Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 28 through 30, the Bible says, "And the rest of the people and the priests and the Levites and the porters and the singers and the Nethinims and all that had separated themselves from the people of the lands into the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord, and his judgments and his statutes, and that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons." This is as the Israelites went into the land of Canaan and they separated themselves from. That's what we're supposed to be. The word church is the essence of the word separation. It means called out assembly. We're to call out from the world, assemble together, and do it as God says, not as the world says. Now we have churches that are more worldly than the world was a long time ago. Everybody doing okay? We're not. The preacher's not going to get rid of the pulpit and put a stool up here and get a turtleneck sweater and put a Garth Brooks microphone on and sit here and let's have a little talk with Jesus. Bless God, the Bible says that the preacher's going to get up, let him cry aloud, spare not, let him pound the pulpit and scream a while. Yes. Number two, I got to hurry. We need to get back to, well, let me say with number one, we need to get back to the Bible in that culture. Number two, we need to stay as far away from the world in by the standards by which we live. Folks, get ready. If you're going to be a Christian and live the Christian life, the world's not going to like it. I'll get on an airplane tomorrow. I'll go to the airport early in the morning. I've flown a lot. Can I tell you the best way in the world to get a seat in the airport? Pop open your Bible and sit down, man. They'll scatter. It's great. Say, doesn't that bother you? No, I'm not intimidated by it. They are. Can I tell you something? This church will lovingly and openly accept sinners, but I'm not changing the truth just to accept people. But hear that? Somebody called our church this week, and wisely they said, we've been to your church. And they said, preacher, you don't sugarcoat anything. I said, no, I don't. And they said, we have a situation. They have some family members that are part of the alphabet soup crowd, the LGBTQ people. And I said, you're welcome in church. That person is welcome at church. That person could not join our church. You could, but I cannot allow them to join our church because if I do, then I have to sanction a marriage legally. And I said, I refuse to do it, and it's in the bylaws of our church. They said, we're so glad to hear that. There's a part of me that didn't want to say that, just so you know. Because I didn't want to hurt people. I didn't want to lose people. I wanted to grow them a while. Get them ready for it. They were more ready for it than I thought. I said, if they come, I'm not changing what I preach. Everybody doing okay? I said, by the way, they might come get saved and see their life change. That's what we're hoping for. And they sat there and they wept and said, thank you. Can I tell you something? I love every sinner, and every sinner is welcome through those doors. My enemies are welcome through those doors. That doesn't mean they're going to teach Sunday school next week. But it does mean that we're going to preach the truth, but we'll love them while we preach the truth. Let me say it this way. Our music should not be like the world's music. Our music is not for entertainment, and our music is not for our flesh. Our music is to praise and worship God. Everybody doing okay? Our music is for God, not for ourselves. I preached a whole sermon on that recently. You see, our music should not be like the world's, and now we're letting contemporary music behind the pulpits of our church, and we're letting the influence of entertainment now get into our churches. I'm talking about this breathy, slidey, contemporary, let's syncopate the beat, syncopate the words, and let's keep the old songs, but let's do it in a modern style. What's wrong with Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved an old wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas the blind, but now I see. Nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see? I don't need to change it to feel it. I don't need to feel it. You don't get the Holy Spirit and feeling together in the same place. Never find the word feeling and Holy Spirit in the same sentence. If it's feeling, it's the body. It's sensual. I'm not saying a good old song, you're not going to tap your toe a little bit. And those of us that play instruments, you're going to tap your toe just to keep the beat of the music. I get it. There's nothing wrong with something that's peppy and live. Good night. We don't need funeral dirges at church. But how about we go back to the old-fashioned music? We don't do music here that's not at least 20 to 25 years old. I won't approve it. Say, why? First of all, I make sure it's that old. Second of all, I read the doctrine of every song that's done here. Then I make sure we do it with the right style. Say why? Because I don't want to go the way of the modern church. Hang on. I love you. Our dress shouldn't be like the world's. I said it. I believe men all dress like men. I believe ladies all dress like ladies. I don't think we ought to have a spot where we check which one are you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I just believe that men ought to be men, ladies ought to be ladies, we ought to dress right. But may I say this, the door's open whether you do or you don't. I'm not going to change what I preach because that's what God said. But I'm not going to get mad at you, but I will say this. If you're going to move into leadership at the church and move into service positions at the church, you're going to need to step up so that you can stay in beat and march with the right army. That's all it is. I'm bad at you. You don't embarrass me. It's not between you and me. It's between you and God. I just have to preach what God said. Everybody doing okay? Now, hang on for a second. We ought not bring the worldly styles into our church. Be careful. Ladies, do us a favor. Cover yourselves. Both ends. I don't know how else to say that. Cover it all, please. That'll help us. You think it's comfortable, you get up here in front of people and say what I have to say. But may I say this, a lot of people just don't know. I don't look at you as rebellious. Usually nobody's ever told you what the truth is. Ladies, your eyes aren't affected like a man's eye is. Fellas, keep your eyes where it's supposed to be. Learn to look a lady in her eyeballs. Everybody doing okay? Somebody say amen. All right, there we go. Come on. Yeah. But I will say this. I think men ought to be as covered as a woman is. Fellas, keep your ugly legs covered. Good night. Run another chicken on top of them legs or something. If it's wrong for a woman's knees to be exposed, it's wrong for a man's knees to be exposed. God didn't say nakedness was just for a lady. Everybody doing okay? Nakedness is wrong whether it's a man or a woman. Dorsey and I were out the other day, and this guy, he had to be 65, 70 years old. He's out, big old white hairy chest out there, mowing his yard. And I said, you know, that's eye pollution. It just does not make sense. And I know it's summertime, but you go to the beach and everybody running around in their underwear. No, it's a bathing suit. Well, you paint it a different color doesn't make it turn it from an underwear to a bathing suit. Everybody doing okay? You wouldn't let your daughter walk to school in her underwear. Why would you let her go hang out on the beach with everybody that way? Hear a pin drop. Ooh, all right. Next. Our talk should not be like the world's. Folks, our world lives in such a crude, nasty world. Filthy mouthed. I can put up with some of it, but I don't put up with much of it anymore. And I do okay till, especially if there's ladies around. I can tolerate it a little bit, but if there's a lady around, you're looking at one preacher that steps up and says, hey, there's ladies around, hush. Even if it's the lady cussing. I've done that. I was in somewhere and this guy used the Lord's name in vain. I said, would you quit talking about my Savior that way? He looked at me. He said, what do you mean? I said, you don't even know him. I said, if you died, you'd probably die and go to hell, wouldn't you? He looked at me. I reached in my pocket and handed him a gospel tract. Boy, did you talk about a quiet elevator ride. He didn't use the Lord's name in vain in my presence anymore. We live in a world of disrespectful talk. Young people, talk respectfully to your parents. Yes. Talk respectfully to an adult. Yes. You want to be treated with respect, then why don't you talk with respect?
That's right. Amen.
By the way, I think adults ought to talk respectfully to each other. Absolutely. Sometimes your children are just mocking what they hear you and your wife or you and your husband talk. Isn't it amazing that everybody in the world wants to give their opinion, and their opinion doesn't matter? Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. You pick which one you want. Can I tell you something? your opinion doesn't matter. Just because you're thinking it doesn't mean everybody wants to hear it.
Right.
Unless it's asked for, don't give it. Our entertainment should not be like the world's. I'm going to turn my back and preach this one. I give you plenty of room to stick the knives in. Amen? I think we ought to be careful what we and what we let our children use as entertainment. I know I get in trouble for saying this, but there's something evil about the Marvel cartoons and Marvel characters. It's evil powers. It's dark powers. I'd be careful. I'd be careful of the virtual world. Virtual means unreal. I don't live in an unreal world. I live in a real world. Be careful of social media. Some of you believe everything that's on social media. God bless your cotton-picking little heart. You say, preacher, their church is not on Facebook. It's not going to be. You're not on Facebook, and I'm not going to be. If I haven't talked to somebody in 30 years, I don't need to talk to them. Facebook, some of you need to put your face in the book and shut your Facebook account. If we'd spend as much time in that book as you do on social media, you'd stay away from the border of sin a lot longer. Some of you wouldn't say some things that you say on there. Okay, getting a little quiet. We got to be careful who we hang around. Hanging around half-naked people, letting your kids hang around half-naked people, guess what your kids are going to copy? Let your kids hang around bad attitudes, they're going to get a bad attitude. You show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are. Whether you're young or old. Some of you have a bad attitude because of who you're spending time with. Boy, I better hurry. Getting a little warm in here tonight, isn't it? Our hairstyles, our jewelry, and the body painting and piercing of today should not be like the world. Ladies, you don't need 17 earrings in one ear. One will do in each ear, promise you. Everybody doing okay? Men, that's for a woman, not for a man. Yeah, buddy. Folks, the Bible, and I'm not going to take time to go into it, but the Bible talks about not tattooing the bodies.
Yes,
talks about how we should cut our hair. Fellas, did you know your hair should be cut like a man, not like a woman?
Amen.
And ladies, you ought to cut your hair like a lady, not like a man. And then they got the people out there, half of it's one way and half's the other way. They're not sure what they are. Depends what which side they wake up on is what they is. It makes sense. I may not be real smart, but it didn't take me real long to figure out what I was.
Right.
Birth certificate doesn't say to be determined, just so you know. You go out in the cow pasture, it doesn't take long to figure out which one's the bull and which one's the cows. When you have a dog, it doesn't take very long to, that's a girl, that's a boy. You know, it doesn't. It's real not hard to figure out which is which. God is very clear in the Bible, and may I say this, people are more than welcome to come into this church no matter what.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
But I'm not changing the message because they're here.
That's good.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
I have an accountability to God to give you the truth whether you like it or not, whether it's a bitter pill to swallow or whether it's a horse pill, and we're going to choke you with it.
Yeah.
But you're at least going to get it while you're here. I'll dump the whole truckload at one time if I got to, but you're going to get it once. You see, but to step up and to serve in God's house and to serve God's people, I think we ought to step up and live by Bible standards. And if they're good for church, I just happen to believe if they're good for church, they're good for home. It's a wonderful way to live. It's not a double standard then. Number three, and I got to hurry. The farther from the line we stay, the safer we are. Do you know that during the Vietnam War, in other words, world or other wars after that, many of our military soldiers, if you were walking fence rows for patrol or something, you had to stay at least 3 to 5 feet away from the fence row? They did that because the enemy could reach through the fencing or tunnel under the fencing far enough to put landmines and booby traps and different things. They warned our soldiers, don't get too close to that line because you could blow yourself up. Now, if it were me, I'm staying more than 3 or 5 feet away from that line. If there's potential of danger, I will avoid it. If I had a bottle of poison up here and said 10 drops of poison in that bottle of water will kill you, if I put 9 drops in it, who's going to drink it? You're not going to drink it if I put 1 drop in it. Then why do you want to play with the old stinking serpent, the devil, so close? Too many of us live too close to that. Everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
I'd rather play with a rattlesnake than play with sin. And I don't plan on playing with a rattlesnake. You see, the closer to God you get, the farther from wrong you will be. So you don't separate from wrong just to separate from wrong. You separate from wrong to get closer to right. Separation is not, look at me. Separation is, I'm getting closer to him. Separation is about you peeling those things off that keep you from getting closer to God. The more you come to church, the less time you'll be spent near the border. The more time in your Bible, the less time you'll spend at the border. The more time listening to the right music, the less time you'll spend at the border of the wrong music. The more we spend trying to get closer to our God, the more separated from the world we'll become. Now, let me say this. The more you do for God, the less likely you will be to go back to the world. Can I tell you something? Soul winning is important, not just to get the gospel out, not just to get people saved, but it's to wind you up and show you what God can really do with you. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I'll promise you this. You win somebody to Christ, you could charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. It'll charge you up. Promise you. Man, I love going soul winning. But hang on. I'm human. You know what my first thought is? Man, I hope they're not home. Say why? I don't like those confrontations. But all of a sudden something happens and you hear the floor going grunk, 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 and you hear the chick, chick, chick. And you're hoping it's not chick, chick. No. You hear that door starting to turn a little bit and something happens inside me. I got that gospel track in my hand and I say, folks, I'm Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church. We're going through the area. Y'all get to go to church somewhere regularly? And from that point on, God kicks in and it's like, here we go. And it's fun. I've seen some miraculous things take place. I've watched some unbelievable. Usually the person I think, okay, there's one that's going to listen to me. They're the ones that slams the door in my face. And the guy that comes and he's got, you know, a ponytail to his backside. He looks like he ate nails for breakfast. He's got tattoos like sleeves on his arms. He's got one through his nose like this. And you're thinking, oh, Lord, this guy ain't going to listen. Usually he's the one who bows his head and trusts Christ like a puppy dog. If I left it up to me, I'd have won the other one and let that one go. And God says, no, no. You just get the gospel out and we'll let those who get saved get saved. Not for you to determine.
Right.
Temptation is the bait to the hook of sin. When we compare the Bible in eternity to the temporary thrill of temptation, temptation seems pretty worthless. Let me say something. That thrill of immorality for a short time does not compare to eternity.
Right.
I'll promise you. The tickle of sin doesn't last very long and it'll dull your senses and you're going to lose your life. But I'll tell you this, the thrill of eternal genetics and doing stuff that lasts for eternity, now that'll keep you going for a long time. Sherry, I was thinking of your brother, winning your brother to the Lord here. It's been 2 years now? 3 years? 3 years, man. He's dying of cancer or something or other. I don't remember which. I think it was cancer. Stood there. She said, "Now, preacher, he's going to cuss you out." I said, "It's okay." Brother Larry standing in the driveway said, "Now, preacher, you sure you want to go talk to him?" "Yeah, it's okay." Went down to the, knocked on his door, talked to him for a little while, Vietnam vet. We hit it off. In a few moments, he bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. Little did we know, it was about 3 or 6 weeks later, he died and went to heaven. We didn't know how close he was. Just need somebody to take the gospel to him. Now, that's better than anything that the world has to offer, let me tell you. Let me tell you. The thrill of fornication doesn't compare to the lasting joy of a holy union and 30 years of marriage with the same person. I'm not afraid to say that. Everybody doing okay? Young people, you ought to hit this altar for your wedding day as a virgin. That's not a bad word. Keep yourself for one person and one person only. Trust me. By the way, I did. She did. It's great. That's why we're still newlyweds after 30 years. Say why? We kept ourselves for each other. There's not a lack of trust. There's not problems in the marriage due to that. We need friends and influences that draw us closer to God, not closer to the border of sin. If your friends are pulling you that direction, you better be wary of your friends. If your family's pulling you that direction, you better be careful. We're to be going this direction, not that direction. We are to stay. Don't get too close to that border. Say, "Well, preacher, I still think it's wrong for dating couples to hold hands. My daughter and Michael are dating. They're not touching each other till they get married." Say, "Why?" I'm trying to keep them away from the border where that ends up. Yes. Everybody doing okay? You say, "Well, we're just going to hold hands." Holding hands leads to other stuff. That leads to other stuff. That leads to other stuff, and before too long, you're in trouble. Boy, you're really old-fashioned. Thank you very much. You know, there's nothing wrong with walking over here. Say what? I'm happier over here. I don't even hear the noise from over there. This is a wonderful place to live. Say, "Well, that's not real." Well, if I stumble and I fall and I come all the way back over to here, I'm still not there. If you're walking here and you stumble, guess where you're at? I still got room to make an uh-oh over here. My uh-oh might bring me back a few steps, but I still haven't ended up there. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
That's why this preacher draws the line so far away. Let's stay as far from wrong as we can. Let's separate to protect ourselves and to draw us closer to God. Again, it's not a badge we wear. It's not look at me, it's look at him. That's what separation's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I went a little longer than I planned, I'm sorry. Very important truth that we all need. I wonder who would say, "Preacher, there's something in my life," or "That sermon was for me tonight." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, 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 many hands. Thank you. If you've been saved and baptized, if you've been saved and never baptized, we can care for it. If you need to be saved, we'll care for it. Maybe you just need to come kneel at an old-fashioned altar and put it out there.